Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Permanent Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. On this June, what do we have? What day is this now? The 25th on the West Coast, and June the 26th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. So nice to have everyone with us that's listening from around the world. Especially you folks out there in Sochi, Russia, some folks in Ireland, all over the planet. I know they're even listening in Australia and New Zealand. So top of the morning or the afternoon to you folks. I guess in New Zealand it's probably about 1 o'clock in the afternoon or thereabouts. It may even be later. Lots going on in the United States. We got the news this morning that actress Farrah Fawcett passed away. Our condolences go out to her family and friends. Also, later in the afternoon, late afternoon, Michael Jackson, the pop singer, dancer, entertainer, who had a long career with Motown Records, Michael Jackson passed away, evidently of cardiac failure. And our condolences go out to his family and friends, and in both cases, all the many millions of fans. What is the significance of the passing of an individual from life? Well, it all boils down to the impact they had on your life. Certainly, most of you would agree with that. I think the media right now is carrying this a bit too far. There's certainly a lot of people who have accomplished great things in their lives who never ever got so much as mention from the media. But it's a sign that that they're going to turn any opportunity into a mega buck extravaganza, sort of like a feeding frenzy amongst sharks, that they will take advantage of these situations and almost in a cold, callous way. They attempt, and I'm speaking about the mainstream media, attempts to deliver you the news that you need to survive. And really what's going on is it's a heightening of the mind control that they use through idol worship. Certainly, it's worth mentioning that these people passed on, but we don't need to turn their passing into a concert itself, especially when they, during Michael Jackson's trial, they made a big issue of the allegations of pedophilia that he was exonerated from, although many question if that trial was fair. And, you know, I'm not the judge of Michael Jackson. I think he will have to make some judgments himself about how he lived his life. He wasn't an evil person. He brought joy into a lot of people's lives. And he brought sadness into some other lives as well in relation to some of his legal troubles. So I think we should be paying more attention to the things that really affect the whole world in terms of our leaders' mega theft of trillions of dollars and their perpetual wars and the murder of millions of innocent people. To me, that warrants coverage on the media. And the media chooses to spin the government's version. So we have something going on that we should really be paying attention to, discerning what it means to all of us. not many of us are affected by Michael Jackson's passing in one sense, because he hadn't been producing any music for the past few years anyway. And now that he's gone, now all of a sudden they want to resell this individual to the public and capitalize on it. It's about making money, folks. And it's not really about caring for the individual and even honoring his life. To Michael Jackson, they're showing the trophy to us once again. With that, let's move on to tonight's guest. He has been on Evident Footprints a number of times. I first heard him speaking on someone else's radio show, and I became very impressed with the fresh solutions that he was bringing forward on behalf of the people in the United States. And for that matter, I think his principles could be applied anywhere in the world, considering the world's economy right now, and particularly in the United States, in respect to what's going on in the legal community. This man is a lawyer or an attorney. He's a Harvard graduate. He's been on the internet since the, I think, 1995.
I'm the first lawyer on to have a website.
I haven't introduced you yet. You're not supposed to say anything. What do I say? Overruled. Anyway, that's our guest in the background there. We'll get into some of the issues of how he began doing what he's doing. He ran unsuccessfully for the Attorney General's slot in the state of New York, and I don't think it was because of his qualifications. It may have had something to do with pure politics, but nevertheless, this man has got some very innovative ideas, and they're all solution-oriented, and he's going to tell us about our legal rights and the things that he has in mind for us to do to make America and the world become a better place. He's my good friend, Mr. Carl Pearson. Now, Carl, you have my permission to speak.
Okay. Thank you very much, Don. I enjoy coming on your show from time to time, and it's really a pleasure, and it's really interesting because you were zeroing in on something that became a big news item today for people like myself who don't read the typical stuff. I mean, the passing of Michael Jackson and the rest, I feel sorry for everyone. But the real story, as I saw it today, was, and you have to have my background to really, I think, appreciate what's going on. But MySpace was acquired by Murdoch years ago, and they entered into a deal with Google for the monetization of MySpace, and it hasn't worked out well for MySpace. Murdoch recently acquired the Wall Street Journal.
So
today, the president of the Wall Street Journal comes out and really lands a haymaker on Google and blames Google for the destruction of the main media, the newspapers in America.
You didn't Isn't that interesting?
That, I bet. But that,
yeah,
to me, is like a big, big story. We got the big guys fighting each other now, the major media. The major media, of course, is Google. They are everything. And you know what they're doing? The newspapers spend all that money gathering the news, and they're putting it online. They don't make a cent at all online, except for the Wall Street Journal that's charging a couple of bucks for people that will look at some of their stories. But for everyone who searches for a news item, Google runs ads, and Google receives a huge amount of income displaying the free stories that the press has paid a lot of money to acquire and to publish. So the newspapers are going broke, Google is becoming rich, and nobody can figure out what's going on. I mean, I know what's going on. You have a monopoly. And if you had numerous people competing with Google, they would be finding a model and working with the newspapers and providing a fair division of income or figuring out something. But Google doesn't have to, because it controls everything. It can do anything it wants to, and it's doing it and the press is getting destroyed. But from the standpoint of the major media, who cares if they're destroyed, because the stories they give aren't really that relevant. They feature Michael Jackson. What about featuring the fact that the country is going broke and that there's a solution to it and that you and I are working on that solution and that we actually can bring prosperity to the country, but nobody considers that a worthwhile issue when they're in the major media, because the major media and the people who finance it don't want economic justice for the people. They want
yes.
to continue to have us as economic slaves, which is what's happening, and it's getting worse and worse. But the newspapers are getting destroyed because they never came to bat for the people. If they had only gone to bat for the people, maybe there would have been some relevance, and maybe they would have people buying their newspapers. But now the newspapers are going broke because they backed the wrong people. They were the agents of the very wealthy, and now they're getting cast aside. And it's interesting to see the destruction of the major newspaper media.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to, I don't even want to say postulate, I'll just submit to you and the listening audience that the media is suffering now because they haven't figured out a way to make money and put out the truth at the same time.
That's true. I have a solution for them.
Okay. And what would that be?
it's a simple solution. See, I'm wrestling with the idea of maybe trying to create a profit-making model to be able to bring my improvements into a town, because there's really no town. I mean, we're working on one place in Hopeless, Indiana, but there are 40,000 towns and villages and counties in the United States, and there's got to be a way of bringing what I'm doing to the people. And if you have a model that makes money, you can then afford to insert it in a town. So if the town won't volunteer to pay to create prosperity for its own people, then an economic model will be that if what I'm proposing really can make money for the people, then taking a legitimate commission for bringing prosperity to a town will provide the money that's needed to create that prosperity. Somebody has to put up the money. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we need to market the services of a town, and therefore the people who get the money are going to have to give a percentage of it in order to, as a legitimate commission. But if they did that, then I could go into a town and create that prosperity, because I would have the money to market the services. We need money to market the services. We need money to service the people who provide their tasks. We have to have managers. We have to have people that create websites and landing pages, people who will manage the kinds of listings that individuals in a town should have. I mean, it's an entirely new way of looking at employment. Instead of trying to get a job with Walmart for $8 an hour, people can actually earn money by offering services that are needed to the world, and they can get $20, $30, $40 an hour. Of course, they won't get it for 40 hours a week, but if you work 10 hours a week for $40 an hour, that's $20,000 a year.
Yes. Now, you know, what comes to mind here is those people who are complaining about not having jobs, well, there's the large possibility that they're not, or the likely possibility that they're not even listening to this show. But those who are listening, I know of a few people that could use some extra income. Don't you find it ironic that people are more willing to complain about the way things are than to do something about changing them?
Well, let me explain, I think, what's happening with employment. But let's first of all focus on what employment means. When you have government employment, it basically means that you're on the dole, that you receive a lot more than the market really needs to pay you if you're lucky mm-hmm. enough to get a federal or state or possibly a local job. And I'm not so sure that the local salaries are that high, but state and federal are probably very high. and more so than you really would need to induce people to go to work. I mean, people work as guards in a courthouse and they get $100,000 a year. Where we have taxi cab drivers who are working 6 or 7 days a week and they earn $600 a week, which is a lot of money, but they put in 12 hours a day, 72 hours, you know, and they're getting about $6 or $7 an hour when you add it all up. So it depends. Like, if you're working for government, you're making too much money. But that is only one of the problems. The real problem is that we've had big corporations paying excessive salaries and benefits. And let's just take a look at the investment banking world. They are now back paying more than ever before. They're paying more than $350,000 a year on the average as income, or as a benefit, bonuses, I mean. $350,000 a year on the average, a bonus for each worker. Can you imagine that? These are the people that have stolen the country from us, and they're paying more than ever before. They got $1 trillion of benefits from the Obama group. They said that they're having trouble, we need some money, so they handed them $1 trillion, and they're using that to give billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of bonuses when the rest of us are hurting. And they're taking that money. And where is any support for the homeowner? But let's go back to what employment means. Employment basically has descended from where people worked hard and were entitled to what they got to now where they get benefits, where they get $50,000 a year worth of medical and dental and sick leave and personal days and non-personal and moments off and thought days and sabbaticals and all these different things. All of that costs a lot of money. And the more that people expect that, the less work a corporation really gets out of people. And they're saying, Jesus, why are we putting all this money, all the costs of hiring people as employees? Why don't we just contract it out and stop all that drag on our earnings? So the corporations are now reducing jobs, they're reducing benefits, they're reducing compensation, they're sending jobs overseas, they're getting rid of the high cost of payroll taxes in America and the high cost of insurance, medical insurance, health care, dental. All of these things become higher and higher costs, and corporations are willing less and less to hire people who become on the dole, on the corporate dole. So we have a weakening of the job market because we've just been charging too much. It's been too good a deal. You show up, you get your money, you don't really have to perform. You can sue people if they fire you, hopefully. So it isn't working out because we've lost the American ethic. We don't have people really working and creating. We have people stealing your money by selling paper, creating paper investments which they push onto people that are ignorant and don't know that they're buying toxic paper, and they're getting $350,000 a year for that. But that's not creating anything. That's just stealing money and getting away with it. So we have a reduction of employment because it's too costly and it's not performing. People no longer have the incentive to do any work. They only have the incentive to collect their benefits, collect their check, go home early, and not really perform anything meaningful. That's what the employment market is descending to. So now, who is going to do the work? Well, we have all these unemployed people who are now really able to perform things that people want done, but they're going to have to do it as tasks where they perform a specific job and then get out of the hair of the other person. Don't think that when you want your sidewalk cleared of snow that you're going to be a full-time employee. Look, you shovel the snow off my driveway, I'll give you $50 for it. That's $50 an hour for you, and you pay the gas. You should be happy, but don't think I'm going to pay your health care, medical. You're not going to have a job out of that. But if we view that really as an opportunity where people can provide a meaningful service, we can find employment all over the place, far more than you ever imagined, and that would be a nation of small business people, which all of us know is the real way of generating jobs. That's what we ought to be working on. That's what I'm trying to do. And yet I have no takers. I don't have anyone in the country wanting to have something like that. I can't believe it.
Yeah. One thing that comes to mind regarding what's going on in the business community, don't you think a lot of these people are paid these exorbitant amounts of money to look the other way, in other words, to ignore the corruption that they may be aware of within their own companies?
How about let's doing it some other way? How about it being paid for the corruption that causes the company to earn more than they should? They have to distribute the money to the human beings that create the corruption. A corporation is only a piece of paper. A corporation itself is not a human being. It's just a piece of paper. It's human beings that create the illegality. And if the corporation made all the money and the human beings that steal for the corporation don't make anything, why should they steal? So The excessive salaries, to a great extent, are compensation for crookedness.
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about that. Yeah. I'm speaking about those that may be with those companies. They're the people that aren't doing the work that you were describing that I was referring to. I should have been more explicit. Basically, we pay our people well, therefore, you owe your loyalty to the company at all costs.
$1 million to the lawyer for a company. How about giving a lawyer or an accountant $1 million just to be a rubber stamp deal?
Yeah, I was going to bring up Arthur Anderson as an example.
They were exonerated by the Supreme Court a few months ago.
I was going to ask what the outcome of their
court reversed the conviction.
Well, then that tells you, under what basis? I mean, was it a loophole in the law, or was it something ridiculous?
They just found that it was wrong to have blamed them for whatever happened, and they reversed the conviction. And now, but the corporation, of course, is dead and liquidated, so it didn't help.
Yeah,
I say don't cry for Arthur Anderson, because they caused all sorts of hardship and losses to people. People that were working for them got more than they deserved. So don't cry for Arthur Anderson or the loss of Arthur Anderson. In the same way, I wouldn't cry for the loss of an investment banking firm where they've been doing so much money. Who cares? Why worry about them? We ought to get rid of them. These companies should not be existing. There should be a different way of allocating capital than the way that it's occurring right now. Small business doesn't get any capital. That's why we can't grow. We have excessive regulation, for example, in payroll. So I have featured in one of my 4 points a way of reducing this albatross on small business by having a communal payroll administrator to take the burden off small business and to lower the costs so that we can actually have legitimate employment without being taken to the cleaners by excessive insurance costs, excessive payroll administration costs, and the excessive time, which takes away the right of a small person working alone, like myself, to earn a living if I have to spend a lot of time on administrative things. I can't get my work done. We have to have staff functions for small business. We need to have payroll administration as a staff function so that any small business can check in to the payroll administrator for the area and not have that as an albatross around the neck of small business.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find other areas, possibly raising capital. But I think the attorney general is like a staff function for the small businesses in an area. That should be the job of propping up small business and paving the way for them to become profitable by suing whatever people are blocking this profitability.
Mm-hmm. Now I notice this is in my observations, and I'm sure many out there in the listening audience are going to agree with what I'm saying, but it bears repeating, that there are a lot of people that are living off the gift of welfare or workman's compensation. And when they have that magic carpet pulled out from underneath their feet, and they realize that the monies aren't there to keep those programs going, because that money's been stolen, then they are going to be in a dire situation where they're going to have to face their complacency and their apathy at this time. They're going to have to, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Let me ask how dire it is if somebody gets a little pickup truck, puts a plow on it, and is able to earn $50 or $100 an hour when it snows. I mean, that's one thing a person could do. Another thing that a person can do, I mean, there's just a billion things that we can do that are needed. And we're not doing it because there's no market that organizes the tasks that are available and the tasks that are sought. We've called it an employment market. So if somebody is an accountant and he looks for a job as an accountant, the work that he does, we don't know yet. We just call it generally accounting work, but he finds out, he or she finds out when he goes to work at that full-time job, that they want him or her to count beans and to maybe juggle some books around and stuff like that. Those are the specific tasks that an accountant in a job would have to do. But we don't need to have jobs as the only way by which you and I can earn a living. You and I could be doing all sorts of tasks, but we have to be able to advertise what we want to do, and we have to have people know where to find us. So that's a marketplace. We need a marketplace for tasks a hell of a lot more than we need a marketplace for collateral debt obligations and toxic investments.
Yes.
We have human capital here that can perform billions of hours of work, and we have no marketplace for it. And that's ridiculous, because people want the work to be done. I have things that I would like to do, I'm willing to pay for. I'm sure that you would be willing to part with some of your money to get some of the things done that you really want to do and you don't have time to do.
So absolutely.
We need a marketplace for that. All of us have that. We are all willing to be purchasers as well as sellers in this marketplace. And there is no such marketplace. There should be a marketplace like that, and we don't need jobs in that case. We are the small business, and we are better than jobs. We are the ultimate job, and we're not doing anything to develop that market. What an outrage.
Yeah, it's, as I said, it shows the complacency, the apathy, and I guess I could add the lack of creativity. Doesn't mean that there aren't those out there that are doing something. Many have gotten out of the so-called job market and started their own businesses and are doing quite well. You're just talking about someone grabbing the bull by the horns and saying, you know, enough is enough. I'm not going to stand for this anymore. I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to decide what it is I'm going to do to earn a living, and I'm going to do it. So few people have that kind of drive anymore.
Well, we're forcing them into it by not offering those sweet, hard jobs. Those jobs are no longer available. You can't get them. The cities aren't hiring anymore. They're firing. They're sweetheart jobs. When there are jobs, they're in the past, they've been overpaid, overbenefited, and now the employers are trying to get rid of these people. They're trying to get rid of the benefits. They're trying to get rid of the workers. They're shifting jobs to lower-cost areas of the world. And we have a people in America that are losing their income. They're losing what was a sweetheart deal, and they don't know what to do. But it's so clear what they should do is just offer tasks.
Oh,
and have our marketplace, and the marketplace is a simple marketplace. If you want to tutor quantum mechanics, or you have skills in 30 or 40 different disciplines, you put down tutor quantum mechanics. That's one ad. And then you have a website landing page that explains what you charge, where you are, how you do it, materials, the costs, and all that. And then you might want to show people how to set up a farm for cows. And that's a different landing page.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, that we can do hundreds of things, each of us, and there's no reason why we shouldn't put down those tasks as keywords with our zip code, and people wanting to find a consultant on cow farms will find you.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Carl, what comes to mind is when the average person listens to the mainstream media and they hear this spin about the stock market is rebounding and banks are doing well, or these mega corporations are in dire need of billions of dollars or they're going to go down the tube, people are just waiting to be told what's going on. And I ask those people, what is going on where you live, especially the people that live in the small towns? Are you hearing your town reported in the news? Are they giving an honest appraisal of what's going on in terms of the job market, the income, the amount of suffering that's going on, how the cities and towns are falling apart because of the neglect that's going on, and the corruption at the highest levels? These people make promises and never make good on those promises. So
it happens all the time, you know, and we have to just bypass it and work at the smallest level of government to work where people live and where it's manageable, where we can reach people. And I'm gonna change my model from giving it away where nobody wants it because there's no incentive apparently. The people that control government are impossibly afraid that if their own people suddenly got prosperous, that might change the equation, and they would maybe no longer, maybe they would become too smart and not vote for the existing group. I don't know what it is, you know, I don't know what it is, but we need to increase the knowledge of people in a town. We have to give them opportunity to make money. We have to create it an easier way for small business to prosper. And when we do this, we're going to have a prosperous town. We're going to have a well-educated town who are going to know, I think, the right thing to do. And maybe that scares the politicians that don't want the right thing. They've been so used to selling out and stealing and cheating from people that they're afraid of something that's open and good.
Well, I think their biggest fear is probably that they might stop holding elections and counting the votes with Diebold voting machines.
Yeah.
That's probably their biggest fear.
Yeah.
But well, now you said
Diebold was used in Iran.
Oh yeah, yeah. That whole scene there seems to be staged by the CIA to justify the intended attack on Iran, especially by Israel. I mean, it stinks to high heaven. You can see what they're doing. Once you learn what propaganda is, you see the propaganda behind it. And unfortunately,
we see propaganda every day in every major newspaper. It's all propaganda.
Yes.
They don't tell us what we need to know.
Yes, exactly. Now, I happen to write for a newspaper that tells the truth, the Idaho Observer. And when I go to your site and read what you write, or I should say your sites, you have many. I've not been to the over 100 sites you have. And I know they all serve their own purpose. You're not this egomaniac that has to have this number of sites because, you know, you're suffering from, let's say, low self-esteem. You present on myclads.com, that's the site where you present, or one can present their tasks,
right,
and get some free publicity, free advertising for yourself. I mean, you could not buy this kind of promotion through normal advertising outlets and get the type of response that this could create. Why don't you talk about that a little bit for the listening audience? Especially the new listeners that we have.
Okay. If a person with a website that wanted to offer services throughout the nation tried to get people from California, New York, Nevada, Kansas, Nebraska and got an equal distribution, got 1,000 people from each state, 50 states, 50,000 people. If we got 50,000 people to register their tasks on my website, how could I find enough money to market 50,000 tasks throughout an entire country? And the answer is you can't. There's not enough people. I mean, there's not enough money in advertising for 50,000 people. If I had to advertise in 40,000 towns, villages, and counties throughout the nation, what would it cost to advertise in each one of those towns and counties? If it were $1,000 times 40,000, that's $40 million. But if I can take one town of 10,000 people and register 6,000 people in that town, I can then have local advertising very inexpensively that covers a 25-mile radius around that town, and I can advertise all the services of the people in that town for maybe $20,000.
What would that cost each participant? Let's
see. Well, I think I might have to change the model and take a percentage of the money that they earn. I might have to change the model. Like an employment agency will take a percentage of the money that they earn. I need money to market. And if I don't get money, if money is paid to the people in the town for their services, how do I get money to market it? I need to take a percentage, otherwise there's no deal. I was hoping to find a town that would be willing to spend that money, but apparently I'm going to have to change the model and have the ones who get the money provide a percentage of that so that we can market it, because without the marketing, I can't bring in the money. I need to have money to generate for advertising. So as long as there's no town that's really willing to put in that kind of money, then to make it work, I'm going to have to go into a town on a profit-making basis and hire people to register the town's people and train them on what tasks to offer and be able to market their tasks. But when they receive money, I'm going to have to receive a percentage. So the real question that I have is, how do I do that? Do I work through a task manager, somebody that will manage 10 or 15 people, and the money will flow through him, and I can audit him and expect him or her to provide 10% of the money that is obtained? I mean, I don't know exactly the model, but I'm thinking that a manager, such as an employment agency, if you have an employment agency in the town, you have different counselors, and they're responsible for finding jobs for people that come in looking for jobs. So that's the model that I'm looking at. We should have task managers who will take charge of advertising and placing ads and paying for the percentages for the income that they are able to generate for the people under their care. So those would be task managers. They would create landing pages. They would compete with each other to try to bring in as much as they could for the people that are under them. And that way, they'll get a following. And they'll say, oh, no, Joe is the guy to go to. If you want to do anything automotive, Joe knows, he knows the ropes. Go to Joe. He'll get you more money than you can ever use. So we can have competition that way. And maybe through task managers, which themselves, nothing like that exists right now. So it's a brand new economy. I'm trying to create a new economy here of finding a way to getting money to people where we no longer have jobs. We only have tasks.
And you're offering that at no charge right now, and
can't find any takers.
Yeah, that's...
You know, so I'm going to have to change the model. This thing is, people can earn money and be... And not be subject to all this crisis, this economic crisis. It isn't necessary to have it at the lowest level. The crisis is generated by the federal level, not the lowest level of government. At the lowest level, where somebody could go out and plow a driveway, or they could repair automobiles, or they could tutor quantum mechanics, or they could teach in a local equivalency college, or they can manage tasks. I mean, we have billions of different tasks that need to be done, but we have to have an organization. So a task manager might have 20 people under him or her, and he works like a son of a gun, developing the tasks and marketing it through the website. And when he does, and their people are making money, some people will say, gee, I can't handle this. I'm getting so much business, I'm going to have to charge $50 an hour. What are you doing to me? We started out at $20 an hour, but I keep getting more and more people that want me to do the work. I've got to charge $50. I can't handle the business you're giving me. Isn't that a heck of a deal?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's what will happen.
Now, I don't intend, or it's not my intention to move off of this topic, but there's a couple of other issues that I wanted to bring up briefly.
Sure.
And get your feedback on this.
Sure.
I stumbled across a piece that was actually put out on the internet on June the 12th and of this year. And I know that you have been involved in trying to get a serious investigation of 9/11 going. You being from the New York area, you have a vested interest in that. We all do as Americans. We should really be paying attention. Now, I had put out the theory that flights 11 and 77 did not fly, and that the so-called victims were alive. And I've tracked down many of these victims and can show that
one plane landed in Midway Airport. Isn't that
well? Let me tell you what this article revealed. There's an individual by the name of Len Hart that penned this article. And he had been researching American Airlines, and Wikipedia had an entry. Some people call it Wikidpedia, but Wikipedia had an entry about Flight 11 and Flight 77. Now, 11 was the flight that supposedly crashed into the North Tower, and we've heard of the Phantom plane, Flight 77, that hit the Pentagon. Leaving no trace of an airplane anywhere, nor victims. Now, what is interesting is this: Len Hart discovered that the Wikipedia entry had recently been altered, and it was altered by American Airlines. I put the link to that article on my website, directlightproductions.com, on the Breaking Stories page, and time permitting, I may put it on the news page in its entirety, written out, so people can read it there on my site. But I put the link, which opens in a new window. Anyone can read this story, and they flat out say that they had not even had Flight 11, number 11, or Flight number 77 on the company's itinerary for going back to December of 2008.
And no
I mean 2000. Excuse me, I misspoke.
And no
December of 2000.
Yeah.
Now, I'm also told that plane or those planes with those tail numbers hadn't flown for the prior 18 months to 9/11. So that means that if the planes were not on the itinerary, then no one booked those flights, so there were no passengers. And there could not have been hijackers of planes that did not fly. It's pretty simple.
I believe that there is a lot to be investigated, and I've heard a lot of things that make it seem to me like 9/11 was an inside job.
Absolutely. I agree. I thought I would share that with you. And then we're getting recent reports now that law enforcement officers around the country are being prepped. They were already educated over a two-week period on some mission where they're going to be taken to other parts of the country and forced likely to start arresting people. They're told that they could be away from home as long as 30 days and in some cases maybe even longer. What is the constitutionality of this? Obviously, you know, we're talking about a coup, and it goes beyond military when they're moving into standard law enforcement agencies. And I can't tell you if this is police or sheriff's departments or all of them. The prospect of a law enforcement agent acting under federal authority to arrest people. FEMA is promoting this, by the way.
They have powers that go beyond. The powers that have been given to them are to eliminate the Constitution. If they feel like there's an emergency, they declare it, and then there's no habeas corpus, and they can do anything they want. It really is amazing what's happened to the country in a few years, but we have lost a lot of our constitutional rights. We've lost our ability to control our money and the indebtedness. We've quadrupled, or some figure, I don't know what it is, but we've created so much indebtedness that the country is truly in jeopardy that way, from all this new indebtedness. And who's getting it? Why aren't the homeowners getting it? Why aren't you and I getting it? I mean, why are the banks getting it?
Well, they're the ones that are stealing it in the first place.
I mean, well, they're in charge, that's all.
Yeah.
I mean, they're giving it to themselves, and we can't do anything about it. Our legislators are given a few bucks to look the other way and to allow all this to happen and to make apologies on television and to say that things will be better. We're going to figure out how to do this. Well, they know they're not. They're all lying.
Yeah.
They're not going to figure it out, and they just want their position. They're holding their position. They're lying and cheating and stealing and participating in what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to bypass that by really working at the lowest level of government and try to avoid having to rely upon the federal government, because they're not there for us.
Oh, that's quite obvious. I'm in no way saying that we should be relying on them. They have their own game going on. But, I mean, there's a dichotomy in your statement saying that there's nothing left of the Constitution. I mean, that in and of itself is unconstitutional.
Well, yeah, but there's nobody to enforce it. You see, if the courts won't honor lawsuits and enforce the Constitution, then whatever rights you think you have are really illusory, because a right that is non-enforceable is really not a right.
Well, then I see the court as illusory. So should we pay attention to that illusion?
Well, I'm saying that what we need to do is to work at the lowest level of government and try to make sure that what we do works for us in that least amount of government that we can get by with, because trying to play the game in the higher cost court, trying to play this game at the federal level and compete with their politicians that are paid off and all that, we can't do it. We really have got to organize ourselves at a lowest level, working in a small town where the costs are low. The income you can get may not be the $350,000 a year that the investment bankers give to their people as a bonus. But in a small town, if you earn $20,000 to $50,000 a year, you probably are doing pretty well. So maybe we have to do that. Maybe we're not going to become millionaires, but at least we can earn a decent living in a small town. And mm-hmm. and have heavy internet, because what we do in a small town really can service the world if we're trained well enough, and we need that free college to bring people up to the highest possible level. We need broadband of the fastest type for all, and we need health care, and we need an attorney general to fight for the rights of the individuals in small businesses, and we need a payroll administration system that isn't suppressing of the growth of small business. So we have a lot of, there aren't that many things that we need. Then we can provide all of that at the lowest level of government. We can create prosperity, truly. And there's no reason why we shouldn't. I don't see why it isn't happening.
Yeah, I have a question that came in here, Carl.
Yep.
If you would care to answer it.
Sure.
Actually, it's sort of a two-parter, but the first part is the Constitution just a piece of paper? And I think George Bush had an additive in front of it, a GD piece of paper, because we the people are not enforcing the Constitution, which is a limitation of power for men and women who work for the people in a job we call government, of the people, by the people. The people have failed to enforce the contract. Is this true?
You know, all I can say is that we've lost what we thought we had, and we aren't enforcing the rights that we thought we had in the Constitution. We've seen that the checks and balances no longer apply. So it's true that what we thought we had in the Constitution we now see isn't there. It's not being enforced. It's not enforceable. And therefore, we've lost it. And we don't have the Constitution as we thought we had it. We have something new. It's a new deal where one or two people can give away $1 trillion and no one bats an eyelash. What kind of government is that?
Yeah, in light of this solution that you're bringing forward, and I'm speaking about MICLADS and the and the prospect of forming a local town-based economy where people can earn a decent living and basically separate themselves from all this other chaos that's going on. If people are able to, I guess the big question would be, can they count on non-interference by this federal monster that has been created to destroy the nation? And I would submit that the people who were seeing this at work and earning a decent living would be willing to protect it, to prevent the interference. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't see any need for interference. I mean, when people are willing to tutor persons, when people are willing to teach in a college, people are willing to plow driveways and repair automobiles and provide services and try to set up manufacturing, maybe of renewable energy and stuff like that. There's no reason to interfere. It's just going to be a very forward-looking town that's going to automatically be more prosperous because it's on the cutting edge. We're moving from jobs into self-employment. I know it. I see it. It's only because it has to be. When there are no longer jobs, you're forcing people into becoming self-employed, whether as beggars on a street or providing a service that people really want and not just wiping your windshield when you come to a stop for a traffic light. There's different mm-hmm. types of services, but we also have to try to build manufacturing. And the best thing is renewable energy, creating renewable energy. There are ways of doing it. So we have enough to work with in a small local economy where we don't really need, because we can't expect any help. They're not going to give us any help. So we're on our own, baby. But we can do it. There's no problem in doing it. I'm just amazed that it's not being done. But I don't see where there's any interference. I mean, we're going to be more prosperous than anyone else. People will report the income that they have. They'll report and pay taxes. The town will prosper. I mean, it'll be the way of rejuvenating America. And I don't see where... it's going to create a political upheaval. If the old way doesn't work and the new way does, you're going to have people saying, hey, I like the new way. And the new way, really what I'd like to see is to have the taxpayer pay for all campaign financing. And to do it really, in a sense, by having the airwaves be made available free to the candidates on a basis that's fair. I mean, we give the airwaves to the major media for nothing, and they ought to give back. Instead of getting money for using the airwaves and having to have the rich supply that money and buy the politicians, we ought to use the airwaves for free. And that way we don't need the campaign contributions from the rich. It'll avoid the corruption, and we'll have a place where you and I could run for office.
Well, I don't necessarily have designs to run at this time. So, but I appreciate what you're saying. You know, I'm not really playing devil's advocate. I'm just pointing out that you offer someone something at no charge, or you know, the media uses the word free. They'll buy an expensive product to get some little trinket for free, and they won't even look twice about changing their life, especially when it comes to providing for their family and earning a living and possibly putting themselves in a position to actually enjoy their life. It's definitely a reflection of how they've been beaten down to expect someone else to provide them with an opportunity. There's not that industrious spirit that America was known for 100 years ago.
It'll come back, because we're going to lose. We've lost our credit cards. We've lost our property and the credit lines that are associated with it. We can't borrow. We exhausted our pension fund. We've lost so much value in the marketplace. We have people really who are losing their homes. They've lost their jobs. They can't afford to pay for food and health care. These people, and many of them, are going to go out and find a way of earning money. I want to make it happen more readily and allow them to prosper in the process, because small business should be and can be prosperous. It isn't a failure to be independent. It's a blessing, and we ought to promote it, but we're not doing it, and that's where the fault is, that the government is built for the rich and for the companies that hire us as slaves, and they don't want us to be self-employed. It will detract from the market they have of people that are desperate for jobs and are willing to take anything. But if people, mm-hmm. instead of going to work for Home Depot, could actually go out and assist people in helping them and getting paid to do the things that they know how to do, Home Depot would lose highly qualified people who would be earning good money being independent. So they don't want to see a market developed like that. So there's a built-in bias by the ones who control the country in trying to assist the country in becoming prosperous. They don't want it, because it'll detract from their own profitability.
Yes. Now, we're running out of time here, Carl. I did want to touch on one thing here. If someone were to go to myclads.com, okay, that's myclads.com. MyClads stands for My Classified Ads, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How complicated is it for them to sign up?
It's easy. They can do it in a few minutes, and they have to start thinking of what their keyword tasks will be. Mow lawns, change light bulbs in a theater, repair motion picture projectors, start farming in an urban area. I mean, you can put in any number of things. I'm not marketing the website, though. In other words, I need to get one town registered and then promote the heck out of that one town. I've got to have a lot of people in one area, because I can't market it nationally. If you have a person in California, another person in New Zealand, I can't help them. I can't spend money marketing New Zealand. If we have one person on the website from New Zealand, how can I spend money marketing for that person?
Mm-hmm.
So I need to have everyone in one town be registered, and then I've got tremendous clout, because I can spend money locally in radio, cable, newspaper, television, advertising. But I've got to have money coming back. Either the town spends it to help its own people, which I guess the towns aren't going to do, or we're going to have the people themselves pay a commission on the money they get, and they would be willing to. If you offered a person right now $200, but you got to give me a $20 commission, well, what do I have to do for the $180? You got to plow three driveways. Sure, I'll do that. They wouldn't object to the 20.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the writing's on the wall, folks. What can I say? I've had Carl on the show a number of times, and we've talked about this in great detail. And we're not just talking about hopeless Indiana. There are a couple of towns. I know of one town that's actually looking at this and trying to implement something. I can't do the work for the people in that town. I've promoted it as best I could up to this point, as you know, Carl.
Yep.
And it's up to a lot of people. People are very busy with what they're doing. And I'm not saying there are excuses, and it's not up to one or two people in a town to make this decision. You folks out there have people that live around you that you know, or people in your families that are looking for work. Some of you yourselves are looking for work, and you should be signed up for this. You should be starting the ball rolling in your area, unless you can sit back and say, oh, we've got it great. Life is fine here. We're paying 50 cents a gallon for gasoline and like we were 20 or 30 years ago, and we're very pleased with our dirty streets, our cracked roads, decaying bridges, schools falling apart. Forget about all the money that's being stolen from us. We enjoy life. I don't know.
Did you see the newest development that California that used to spend five times as much for higher ed as for incarceration is now spending an equal amount for incarceration, and it's driving them broke, and they're all over the country. The states are trying to find ways to reduce the prison population because we have 10 times as many prisoners percentage wise as many countries do.
And it doesn't make sense because many cases aren't even being handled in jail. And think of all the people that were in jail if they really did enforce the law right from Congress.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have to build a new jail for them.
That they're going to reduce the prison population. Part of it is a movement to legalize pot or something like that, to have at least less stringent, instead of 100-year sentences for a bag of pot or something, they're probably going to give maybe a lesson teaching them or trying to tell them not to smoke pot. I mean, there are dangers in pot, from what I gather. But the jail sentences for people that steal, like in Michigan or someplace, $100 was a felony. And they have so many people in jail because $100 theft is a felony, 5 years. Jesus.
I thought felonies were much higher amounts of money. And you've got people stealing trillions.
Nothing happens. $100, you get 5 years. $1 trillion, you become aide to the president.
Yeah. There's a certain professional football player. I won't name him or his team, but he was inebriated driving and was convicted of manslaughter. And he got 24 days in jail and 5 years probation. I guess they figure he's worth more out on the street playing professional sports than he would be serving time for taking someone's life. I mean, we're witnessing the epitome of insanity, are we not, Carl? I mean,
Hollywood used to be that way, and probably still is. That they found it hard to put a star in jail because that meant money that was lost to the studio. So the studio that made campaign contributions would let it be known, look, if you don't let this guy go, forget about any contributions. So somehow the word was out, and the prosecutions weren't meaningful. And the same thing is probably true in these other areas with sports figures. I'm not sure what happened to Wesley Snipes, however. How did that happen?
Well, I heard that he got off of the tax case, but now there is a new case in Texas. I don't know what that is exactly. I heard this just a few days ago from someone. So, you know, they're trying to make examples of certain celebrities. He was pretty outspoken about what had happened, and I guess they wanted him to shut up, so they hit him with some other charges in Texas. This is what I've heard.
What do you think will happen to a governor in South Carolina if they find out that he used his government credit card to pay for the airfare to Argentina?
Well, they'll find some way to weasel out of it, I'm sure. They have to, because there's a whole line of them that are doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they're making an example of one person because he's not playing ball, I would guess.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Carl, we're out of time. Do you have any closing remarks for our listening
really,
audience?
Other than it is absolutely possible and probable that we can create prosperity in a small town. We just need people that are willing to help us do it, and we can create prosperity. It's easy. We only have to put people to work again, and there's a way of doing it, and we want to do it. We want people to volunteer for us to come in and do it. So,
yes,
that's the good word.
I want to encourage the listening audience to go to your website, www.myclads.com, and also check out Law Mall. That's LAWMALL.com. And read what's on that first page there, if nothing else. Carl has presented four major solutions for any small town that would get the town back on its feet and for a long time to come. You owe it to yourself to check into that. It's revolutionary in thinking, and it's solution oriented. And you really have no right to complain if you're not trying to take these types of steps. Carl, it's been a pleasure.
Very good, Don. Thank you.
And I look forward to having you on the show again, and maybe this coming month we can work something out.
Terrific, Don. Thanks a lot, and good night.
Okay, same to you. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Carl Pearson. Spelled like person, by the way, P-E-R-S-O-N, but pronounced like peer son. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow evening when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher Jim Murray. We've got a great show planned for tomorrow. Don't want to miss it. In the meantime, I wish you, the listening audience, a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.